News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
But first up, the scoping inquiry into allegations of abuse at schools run by religious orders has found that there were almost 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse in respect of over 300 schools recorded by the religious orders that ran those schools. And for those listening, some of the content that's about to be discussed here may be upsetting to you. We're joined now by Paul Hosford, the Deputy Political Editor at the Irish Examiner. Good morning to you, Paul. I suppose what a lot of people are saying this morning is the sheer scale of this is what is most shocking.
Yeah, good morning, Ciara. I think that is one of the things that's really, really stood out about this scoping inquiry. You'll remember, this was prompted by the RTE documentary, which focused on Spiritans in Blackrock College. But this shows that this goes way beyond Blackrock College, way beyond Dublin, way beyond the Spiritans. 2,395 allegations against 884 teachers, priests and others across 308 schools, 17 special schools, which recorded 590 allegations against 190 alleged abusers. I mean, yesterday we were in a press conference and Norma Foley was asked, are you open to a commission of inquiry that takes in every school in the country because of the scale of just this scoping inquiry? So the sheer scale, the level of the violence, what survivors called the collusion between people in schools, adults who were tasked with their care, the depth of it's 700 pages long. A lot of it is kind of technical, but there's one section that is incredibly, it runs for about 70 odd pages. It's all survivor testimony and it's incredibly harrowing.
Yeah, and as I said, some of this content is very difficult for people listening, and if there are small ears, you may not want them to hear it. But in effect, some of the testimony goes along the lines of molested, stripped naked, raped, drugged, beaten, often by multiple perpetrators, sometimes at the same time, taking turns. This is shocking, harrowing, and distressing to even listen to, let alone bear witness to, or have experienced.
There are sections where one survivor talks about how on his first night in a boarding school he witnessed a boy being raped by two priests who had beaten him unconscious, and that he was later taken out of his bed wrapped in some sort of cloak, gagged and raped. There's talk of young. I suppose this is the thing that stood out to me is that the people who report this were adults or are adults at the moment. They were talking about childhood. Yeah. They were, drugged into immobility. They were molested in swimming pools. Some talked about being molested in front of their classes
shocking as well, Paul, that these things took place in front of other perpetrators, in front of other students. And as you say, these may be adults now, but they were children at the time. A consistent theme is that their childhood stopped when the abuse started. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, and it affected a lot of them. There's survivors who talk about not having kids because of this, or when they did have kids, it affected their parenting. Some of them talk about emigrating just to get out of Ireland because they didn't want to, be around where they were. They talk about the shame, the internalized guilt. There's one testimony where a victim talks about how, they sat in shame in a classroom, and when they were told to go down to mass, they felt they couldn't even go to mass because they committed an awful sin, having been raped the night before. And the effects later on. So some talk about addiction issues later on in life, intergenerational trauma.
Yeah, it's a lifetime of fallout. Quite clearly, what happens next, Paul, in your view?
I suppose the government, the agreement yesterday alongside the publication of the report is the establishment of a commission of investigation into the abuse. The terms of reference of that are going to be very important. Victims groups have kind of said that kind of needs to be done quickly. Commissions of inquiry don't happen quickly. They take an average of about 6 years, cost about €50 million. And then there's the question of redress, which survivors are asking happens I suppose in parallel, Norman Foley kind of made the point yesterday that any redress scheme needs to take in payment from the religious orders. But we know that in previous redress schemes, they've been slow to kind of foot their part of the bill. So, the scale of this will be massive.
Thank you very much for joining us on that, Paul. That is Paul Hosford there, Deputy Political Editor at the Irish Examiner. And for anyone who's listening who has been affected by what we're talking about this morning about this whole issue, you can contact 1 in 4 nationwide at 01662 4070, 01662 4070, or at 1in4.ie. Shane, I suppose what I find most appalling, apart from the savage nature, it was sexual abuse, but the level of savage violence perpetrated on these children, the level of cruelty, the level of exploitation, oppression. This happened, as Paul said, in swimming pools, but in dormitories, but in children's homes. In many cases, these perpetrators had groomed families alongside the children and gone into their homes. There was nowhere these children felt safe. Mm. And in many occasions, they were threatened that your mother won't go to heaven. Or, bad things will happen to
evil.
Your family.
Yeah, pure evil.
But the scale, Shane.
The scale, and it's not the first report, unfortunately, we've had into clerical child sex abuse. 2005, we had the report into the abuse of the Ferns Diocese. In 2009, we had the Ryan report about the abuse of children in orphanages, reformatories and industrial schools. In 2011, we had the Cloyn report. 2013, into the Magdalen Laundry. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Patsy McGarry has a really strong piece on this in the Irish Times today, and he concludes, I'll just read his final paragraph. It really is time this state got to grips with the redress issue where religious congregations are concerned. It is not at all satisfactory that this is seemingly left to the goodwill or otherwise of the relevant religious congregations, yeah, which have developed an immunity even to moral arguments that they should contribute what they agreed to following the publication of the Ryan report in 2009. Yes, some have met commitments made to them, but most have not. I saw a Survivor on Primetime last night making the point that the human thing to do in a situation like this is to put your hands up and say, we did wrong, we are sorry. And it's long past time for that to happen.
And if you don't do that, the idea that you have any kind of moral authority is utterly, utterly destroyed, because the most basic among us can see that this is a huge wrong. Other things that have jumped out at me, if you look at it, lots of the papers would have, I suppose, tables of schools with numbers of allegations and numbers of perpetrators, etc. A couple of schools, the Spiritans, 6 schools, 61 alleged abusers. That's an average of over 10 abusers per school. The Brothers of Charity, 3 schools, 97 alleged abusers. That's over 30 on average per school. Like, what was going on? And I think we have to ask questions about what other people knew, about complicity, about collusion, about all of those things. But you're quite right, Shane, we've had multiple of these things. And I heard some of the things that came out from the various religious orders yesterday saying, well, we might get involved. It depends. They were not holding up their hands. They were not mea culpa. They were not throwing themselves. There was no confessional here. It's sickening. There's no two ways about it. It is a sickening stain on the church, and there is no other thing to be said about it. I'd love to know what people think out there this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Do let us know.